All right, live from home, another Red Sea Radio, Winter Break Edition, episode 14. We're back at it again. Kyle Majewitz and Jack Sarasulo. Jack, how are we feeling this week?
Fine. Okay. Every week we ask how we're doing, and then it basically fluctuates on whether favorite wins or not. So I'm kind of on a streak of not
a little
so
down.
Great.
A little down this week. Yeah, it was a pretty rough week in Fairfield basketball. We're recording this episode on Wednesday, so we got three games to talk about this week, and none of them went well particularly. So it's gonna be an interesting episode, to say the least. Before we start this episode, I guess we'll just remind you that next week we are releasing our Matt Turner interview, December 30th, and we did that on Monday. We recorded it, and it was a lot of fun. It went really well. He told us a lot of good stories and had some good discussions. So make sure you check that out next Wednesday, December 30th. I think I have it scheduled to release at 11 a.m. So make sure you check that out and tell people about that. Other than that, let's jump into the episode. So the first piece of news that I know last week's episode, I said, you know, we're recording this at whatever. If something breaks after this, we're going to miss it. And then, of course, something broke. Like 2 hours, 3 hours after we recorded, it was that the NCAA approved all transfers. So I was really excited about that. I'm sure Jack, you were probably excited as well.
Of course, we both were probably. I mean, we were talking about how the transfers were kind of going to work into our rotation. Without them, we were like empty. We kind of were very like, so rotation was like, it was very short rotation. I mean, we had eight guys, and one of them was Allen. So it was really only like seven, six guys.
Yeah, and
we got like legit playing time.
And like, it's not just like it added two more bodies to the roster, but it's two like very significant,
impactful ones.
Yeah. So I guess just as a whole, before we talk about the games, like how do you feel after three games about the two transfers being added in?
I mean, Wojcik is all we could ask for. I think he's kind of lived up to what we thought about him, or what we heard about him. And Chrysler, I think he's fine. I think he can be helpful. I just don't think he's at the same. I think Wojcik is obviously the more important piece, but
yeah,
I didn't
mind
Chrysler either.
I'll agree. I think Jake's been like pretty incredible in terms of what he's shown. I know like the first Niagara game, he kind of disappeared in the second half, but you know, it just shows like he can shoot the three obviously really well, which is something we desperately need. He can also create his own shot, which is something that we don't really see very often in Fairfield in general. And then, you know, he's just like he's like one of the best players clearly on the team. So adding him in is huge, but I like Chrysler too. I think he's pretty good. You know, like you said, he's not going to have the impact that Jake has, because Jake like is one of the best guys on the court, but he can shoot the three, which is rare for our big men.
It's a good thing to have.
Yeah. And he honestly, he plays D pretty well. From what I've seen so far, he's not bad. He holds his own. I mean, he's starting now too, so he's obviously.
I mean, yeah, no, he's not bad, but it's just more of comparing the Wojcik than comparing him to like the rest of the team.
Yeah, but I think just to sum it up, like the addition of the transfers is massive for us. I know we haven't won a game with them yet, but we've only won one game all season. They have definitely increased our offense production by far. But the weird thing now, which we're going to talk about this episode, is the defense production. So I guess we'll jump into the games now. So we played three games this past week, two against Niagara, one against FDU. So for Niagara game one, we lost 68-51. You know, the story of this game was really just they could never break through that like 10, 11, 12-point threshold. They were always kind of just down by 10, 15. Even when they'd make a little run, they never really broke through to really pull in this game back. They shot 28% from the field. Niagara shot 46%. Again, like turnovers, 11 turnovers. But, you know, the numbers we talk about a lot, right? Turnovers, assists, different things like that. To me, it wasn't really like that. This game came down to, you know, we didn't score in the second half. We barely scored in the first half either, right? 15 points.
I mean, first half was worse than the second half by far.
Yeah, first half, barely scored any points. And then, I mean, when you score 15 points and a half, I think it's probably pretty hard to win a game regardless. But just on the defensive side, too, they just completely fell apart in the second half, especially towards the end of the game. I mean, we lost by 17, but, you know, it was closer than that for most of the game. But they just kind of fell apart in the second half.
I mean, the second half was, if you look at the box score, it's 43-6 the second half. They only got lost by 4 in the second half. So, I mean, just keeping it, like, they seem to not have these big stretches where they just don't score and then fall behind. Because then they don't have the firepower to, like, go on 10-0 runs, 15-0 runs to pull it close again.
So, yeah, like, that's what I tweeted about yesterday, too, at halftime. I was like, pay attention for one of those five-minute stretches where we don't score, because that's really what kills us. And I think it did happen yesterday as well. We dug another hole. I mean, we could wait to talk about that game, but we dug another hole that we just couldn't quite get ourselves out of. And that kind of has happened probably 5 or 6 times this season, which is why we're 1-8 or whatever we are, 1-7. But, yeah, for this game, as far as this game goes, it was really like an offensive thing. I think game 2 Niagara was more of a defensive thing. But we'll move into, like, the box score and the players, how they did, because we'll try to keep it kind of quick since there's 3 games. So Supreme Cook played 18 minutes, 1-for-3 from the field, 2-for-2 from the free throw line, 2 offensive, 3 defensive for a total of 5 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and 4 points. You know, he's kind of disappointed me a little bit the past few games. He hasn't played as well as he did that in the beginning of the season. But I'm still not really sure. Like, is he 100%? Is he still kind of injured? Like, we don't really know.
Didn't you say before the first game of the year he was on a boot? So, or like, the first few packs of the year he was on a boot, right?
Yeah, but then even by around the Iona games, he was apparently had, like, 2 injuries. So, we don't really know, like, what his health status is.
Yeah, well, I would love to see him honestly take a few games off if they have to, like, have him just sit out.
Well, that's the thing, too, though, but there's no games – until after New Year's.
Oh, well, yeah, they're on a big break now, so it's, yeah.
But, you know, he hasn't played as well recently. You know, like, I feel like he hasn't scored much at all.
Milo's definitely outplayed him. Not this game, but the Fairleigh Dickinson, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking Old Dominion. Fairleigh Dickinson game and the second Niagara game, I feel like, Mido's been playing better, even the last Iona game.
Yeah, that was Mido's breakout game. But, yeah, Supreme's kind of, I don't know, kind of let me down the past couple games. This game here, I'd probably give him like a C+.
Yeah, when he's not, like, being a difference maker, but he's just kind of being stagnant, which I guess I'll give a C+ or a C. I mean, he's just average. He's been very average.
I don't even think – I feel like it's not even worth naming, like, a player of the game for a game like this, because there wasn't really anyone that, like, stood out to a point where I was like, you know, they were the best, like, player.
It's going to be like a Caleb or, I mean, basically Taj or someone, because Taj really is the only guy that really plays like that can actually do something every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could give it to Taj, but you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't even really anyone that stood out like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we could just give it to Wojcik and Kreisler for their first games.
Just like Wojcik, the thing is, well, we'll talk about him next. 32 minutes played for Wojcik in his debut. 3-for-10 from the field, 3-for-8 from 3-point line, 2-for-2 from the free throw line, 3 defensive rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 5 fouls, 11 points. You know, he was, like, good in the first half. I mean, I think he hit the first shot of the game. It was a deep 3. But he disappeared in the second half. So it was like a complete opposite. I don't even know if he scored in the second half at all. And he fouled out. So it was weird because the beginning of the game, I was like, yeah, this guy's going to be
That first really shot, good. He was really good on it.
Yeah, and then he just kind of fell off. So I'm not really sure how you felt about his debut.
I think it's honestly him and Caleb kind of together. I don't know if that, like, is the best combo in terms of honestly defensively and even offensively, because I guess they're both undersized. They both kind of play the same similar kind of role as, like, not, I guess Caleb has better point guard skills, but I mean ball handler, shooter, like kind of fills the same role on the court. So I'd love to see them kind of staggered or have Jalen play with one and like have either Jalen play with Caleb off the starters or Wojcik play with Wojcik play with Jalen off the starters.
Yeah.
Instead of having Wojcik and Green start together.
That's the thing. We could talk about it now. Is I think after this first Niagara game, we're on Twitter. People were tweeting us, and I think one of those accounts, it's like clearly like a burner, like burner. Someone, like a student, like it's definitely like a Fairfield student, was saying that they think that that Jalen should start and switch Jalen for Caleb, and I originally was like, I answered him, I was like, I don't really necessarily disagree with you, but I don't think I could see Jae Young doing that because of the way he talked about Caleb to us, saying he's like the best leader he's ever coached and, you know, different things like that. But then after the following two games, after the second Niagara game and the Fairleigh Dickinson game, I like, I'm actually pretty on board with that. Caleb's played pretty poorly over the last three games. He hasn't scored much at all. He turns the ball over. I know you compared him to like Kemba Walker in terms of him being a defensive liability, right?
Yeah, it's not even just like skill, it's just size. Like he could be a good defender. Guys are just bigger than him and will be able to power. Like that guy in the Fairleigh Dickinson game, I think I texted you. I was like, this guy is like eating Caleb for lunch right now.
Yeah. Like, so and then, I mean that kid played against Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament.
The Blanc kid was very good, but I'm just saying like he. Isolation one-on-one, like it was almost like a guarantee he was getting to the basket and scoring easily.
Yeah, so
like you can't have that at your point guard.
The more I watched Saturday and then Tuesday, I actually am pretty on board with that. I feel like I don't think it will happen, but as a fan, I would personally prefer Jalen to start. I think that lineup would be better.
But, yeah, and the only thing is just like the politics of it, but like Jae Young told us in his interview that like Caleb's like the leader on the team, like he's a very big leader. And granted, like he's shown that he will bench captains and seniors like Cruz, obviously, if they're not playing well. So it's a tough give and take. Like, do you have Caleb and Cruz come off the bench as your two like leader?
Yeah, that's why I originally said I don't see it happening. And that's why I even say now I prefer it, but I don't see it happening. I don't think it'll actually happen just because I can't see him. Because, I mean, I guess Taj would be the leader, but it's just like obviously you want your point guard to be an experienced like leader, right? Your starting point guard. So I don't see it happening, but I was like totally off board with it on Friday, and now I'm like actually would – prefer Jalen to start. But for Jake, I guess we could grade him. I'll give him like a B- for the start because it was his debut too.
Yeah, I'll give him a B- because he did have a good first half, and I'll give him that. He did shoot pretty well.
And it is his debut. Three. He hasn't played
with them really ever. Like, he's played with them, but he hasn't like played like in game with them.
Yeah. So we'll move on. Caleb, 38 minutes, 5-11 from the field. 1-for-3 from the three, 1-for-2 from the line, 1 offensive, 4 defensive, for a total of 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 1 foul, 12 points, led the team. So he led the team in this game, but he's just so spotty for me. Like, it's not – he never really even had like a consistent – even like a consistent full game. Like, he gives you halves. He gives you good halves. And – I feel like, has he had like a consistent full game this whole season? I don't even know if he has.
Early on, he was okay. He was pretty solid the first few games of the year. And like, I think that was just kind of his first few games. No one really had, or at least they played out of conference, but like, even like the Iona games, we were kind of thinking like, this guy is going to be like our offensive, like X factor. Like, he's going to be our guy. And it's kind of like slowly every game kind of, he's kind of gotten less and less involved in the offense scoring-wise.
Yeah, and especially with the addition of – I think I texted you this too. Like, the addition of Jake has almost made him more obsolete now because now we have another guy that can shoot the three, create his own shot, pass. Jake was finding good passes in this game too, and just all weekend. Like, we have a guy that's as capable, if not more capable than him, and then we also have Jalen. So it's all, like, well, Jake's addition has almost made him a little – bumped down in the rankings for me for sure.
Yeah, our main thing with Caleb early on, like especially the Stony Brook game when he played pretty well, we were saying his jump shot was so good. Like we were so impressed with his jump shot and how he was like, kind of able to pull up confidently. And
he hasn't done it a whole lot since, you know.
Yeah, he hasn't done it much. I mean, like since then, especially Stony Brook. I think that Stony Brook game, like, kind of shot his confidence a little bit after that.
Yeah,
the ending. Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of what it was on overtime. Didn't one of our friends send it on?
Yeah. Oh, it was on. Yeah, it was on overtime. The Instagram page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, for those of you that don't know, is like a massive basketball Instagram. They probably have a couple million followers, so they put that on there. That's not what you like to be on for that. I know we just you guys haven't heard it yet, but we talked to Matt Turner about being on SportsCenter Not Top 10, and he said we'll let you listen to it, but he didn't like being on there too much, especially as a college kid. It's tough to take. So maybe that bounced Caleb's confidence a little bit, but to give him a grade, I mean, in this game he did lead the team in scoring, but he did only do it in kind of the first half. So I'll give him like a B minus as well.
I mean, 5 for 11, like the basic stat line, I'll give him a B for just the straight up stat line. Obviously the game was kind of a different story, but 5 for 11, 4 points, five rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover isn't terrible.
So we got Jesus next, 21 minutes, 1 for 10 from the field, 0 for 4 from three, 0 for 0 from the line, two defensive, 2 offensive for 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 fouls, 2 turnovers, total of 2 points. So this was kind of like the beginning of his kind of downturn of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we kind of had good things to say about him last weekend.
We thought he was turning a corner.
Yeah, we thought he was turning upwards. We liked how he contributed, kind of, even though the stats weren't there for him defensively, and you know, things that aren't necessarily stat lines, he looked good in. But this weekend was kind of like his downturn. He had a really poor weekend. I don't really know if there's much more to say.
I mean, they mentioned that he said he can't play in Niagara.
Yeah, I mean, the announcers were saying he can't play in Niagara, but I think they failed to recognize that he's just having like a poor season.
Was this his first game not starting?
No, he started this game. It was the next game.
Oh, no, yeah, but he only played 21 minutes. The next game, he didn't start.
Yeah, so I don't think there's much else to say, but he's just had a really rough 3 games. So I'll give him like a C minus for this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel – I D, but obviously we love Hazes, but I have to give a D. I mean, 1 for 10 in 21 minutes even. He's taking a shot every other minute.
All right, so we got Taj next, the last starter. 31 minutes, 3 for 8 from the field, 2 for 5 from three, 2 for 2 from the line, 1 offensive, 5 defensive for a total of 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls, 10 points, which was third on the team. Again, like he never really has like a terrible game, you know, puts up like pretty solid numbers all around, even in like a bad loss like this. So, you know, he's just been proven to be the guy that's kind of like, you can always rely on to at least like not totally kill you in games. And one thing I'd like to say for him is that his 3-point shooting has grown tremendously over from last year to this year. I think you gotta recognize that even in all these losses, he's become like a consistent 3-point shooter, like someone that I actually like expect to score when he gets the ball out there.
He's a legitimately like good, consistent spot up shooter now, which is crazy to think if we said that a year ago today, probably.
What was it? I think he was shooting like 14% last year.
Jay Young, I think, mentioned it specifically in our interview. It was like 15%, 14%.
Yeah, and I heard them yesterday say 50%. So, I mean, that's like unthinkable turnaround.
Also taking shots when they're given to him, unlike
– Well, that also goes into him not bringing the ball up now. He has, you know what I mean, playing his true
position. Exactly. Like, he has – Yeah, he has like a set role, and he doesn't have to take like bad threes at the end of shot clocks. Like he's taking shots when they're
actual real like shots. Yeah, like last year he would always take those like those threes at the top of the key with like 1 second left. But now and now too with Jake, now there's like at any given time there's like three guys or so on the court that could hit the three. So it's not just like an emphasis on Taj anymore. It's not just like a, you know, there's like, they might leave him open or forget about him because they're covering Jake or they're covering, you know, like Caleb or Jalen or someone like that. And it opens up more shots for him. But regardless of if he's getting easier shots or not, he's still making 50% of his threes, which is still really hard regardless. So you got to give it up to him for the improvement he's made. But I'll give him a B minus, I guess, too. All three of those top.
I'll give him a B. I mean, 2 for 5. Every time he shoots over 40% from three, you got to give him a good ranking.
All right, so we'll run through the bench real quick here because we got two more games to cover. So we won't really talk too much about him, but Allen only played a minute. And it had one rebound. Not much of a stat line. I think it's kind of like an NA for this one.
Allen and Schultz. I mean, we can just do both of them now. They both played a minute.
Yeah.
And didn't have any stats. I mean, what? Allen had a rebound.
Yeah. So, yeah, those two, Allen and Schultz, will be NA. Mido played 18 minutes. Didn't score. He had 7 rebounds, though. 2 blocks. So, I don't know. I guess like a C for him. Not much going on there.
Yeah, I mean, all of these guys, C is – I'm fine with the C. I mean, not many of them have done much, especially offensively. I mean, the rebounds are nice. We like the rebounds, 3 offensive especially, and 2 blocks. But, like, you got to contribute on offense to get, like, a good grade.
And then Chrysler played 19 minutes as well. He scored 7 points, actually. So, you know – not a bad debut for him. I think it was like a very average one, though.
I mean, yeah, and also it was a tough game to debut, and just the whole team was kind of off.
Yeah, so I guess like a C plus for him, kind of just.
Yeah, average. I'll give a C.
He definitely played better in the following two games. Finally, Jalen. I think this was Jalen's like one of his few poor games actually. 21 minutes. He only scored 5 points, 1 for 5 from three. You know, I think this is probably one of his down games, but he played well in the following two games, so.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I feel like 21 minutes is not what he has been getting recently. 21, I think he might be a little low, right? Or am I wrong to say that? Or 20, yeah, he got 27 the next game. So, I mean, he also didn't get as many minutes as he wanted.
Yeah,
and also, a 3-point shot just wasn't falling, 1 for 5.
We'll give him like a C to average it out. But I think just to sum this first game up, it was just a poor offensive performance, right?
Yeah, all
like
around.
68 points, and I even said it to you, like, Niagara didn't impress me that much. Like, they weren't crazy good. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, they blew us out because they were phenomenal. 17 points, yeah. We can't hang with these guys. I was like, going into that second day, I was like, you know what? It was one of those Iona scenarios. Like, you know, we did lose pretty badly to them, but they didn't impressed me to a point where I think we're going to get killed the next day. I actually worse about the second Iona game than I did about this game.
Well, it was a bad loss, but it was a bad loss brought on by Fairfield's incompetence and less like Niagara's.
Yeah.
Like great play.
Cause like when Iona beat us that Friday,
it was scary. I was like legit scared to play in the second time.
Yeah. Like we didn't even want to watch a second game because we were like, they played so well. There's no chance we beat them. But for this one, for Niagara, it was like, they didn't impress me that much. We just beat ourselves. We couldn't score.
I mean, there's also that's the Patino effect. He's a scary guy.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that name on the last episode. We didn't even talk about him when we talked about the Iona games. But
I mean, once.
But
I feel like we'll
like Jay Young.
His name will come in conversation at some point.
Yeah, but like Jay Young said too, like we asked him about it. It's like once the game's on in the court. Players are on the court, you're not really paying attention to the coach, really, you know, so.
Especially because in, like, the broadcast they do for Fairfield games on, like, ESPN3, they don't give much, like, love to coach. I not love but like a lot of camera time to them.
Yeah, because it's like a you notice like a lower ESPN, broadcast like because they're not doing like the like mid quarter like interviews and stuff, right?
That yeah,
like they do for like the big games. Yeah, so yeah.
You know, like even just like the cutaways to them to like talk about them.
Yeah, so we transitioned into that second game then that we were talking about, and we actually wound up losing by 20. So we lost by more, but that one we did lose by 20, but you know, I think it was at like 6 with like a few minutes left, like 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. They really broke away in the end, like in the last couple minutes. But regardless, I think the kind of highlight of this was our defense playing poorly. So we shot 41% from the field, which is almost, what, 12 or 13% higher than the first game. 50% from three, which
is – offense definitely played better this game.
Yeah, we hit 11 threes, which I think when we mentioned the game Iona lost before we were playing Iona, we said that we'd never hit 11 threes all season. So we hit 11 threes here, 50%, which is a phenomenal number. 52% from the line, which you'd like to get a little better at. But, you know, we out-rebounded them, out-assisted them, 15 assists, 14 turnovers to their 7, which, again, beating ourselves a little bit with the turnovers. But and 22 fouls, and they had 18. I think that's another thing that was weird. It was the first game, there was, like, no fouls. Game ended before 6 o'clock. This game, there was a ridiculous amount of fouls. The whistle was blown every 30 seconds. There was no flow to the game. It was kind of frustrating. But, yeah, I mean, our largest lead was 1. Theirs was 20. So there's kind of the tale of the story right there. But, yeah, defensively it was poor. That's kind of the motto of this game. I don't know how
it was just poor defense. And the thing I mentioned it to you, well, I don't know if that was the Fairleigh Dickinson game or this game I said that, but like it was like the players, I feel like the players aren't even like you got to start going towards the coaching staff more so than the players at some point. And like, cause like defense was like such a big part of our game last year. And like, we were so, the team was like basically relying on their defense and like, we're pretty confident they could keep any team they played under like 60 points if they really.
Yeah, like really, I think that was yesterday you said that, but I think it kind of applies to both
games. Yeah, I mean, 81, like you wouldn't catch them dead dropping, like, giving up 81 to Niagara last year.
Yeah, no, especially Niagara's not even really one of the top teams in the conference either. But before we get into the players, basically there was a new starting lineup. They had Chrysler in there with Jake. And, you know, I think it was Taj, Supreme, Jake, Zach, and Caleb, right? So they had a new starting lineup. I noticed in Niagara and FDU, Chef started to get some more minutes, actually. Some more minutes than he – because he had 1, right?
And then, yeah, it was weird. The first Niagara game, he got 1. It was probably 18. Just a adjustment that Coach Young made, like, between games. I mean, he played 2 days in a row, so you get kind of a second shot right away.
Yeah, so – you know, but one other thing, I think we noticed it on Friday and we wished for it on Saturday and it didn't really happen, is we had kind of the height advantage on them. I wish we would have played inside more, but I feel like we just didn't really – I feel like they found, like, this newfound three-point shooting.
Well, I mean, they were hitting them today, so –
they were hitting them. They were hitting them, but I feel like they were so kind of, like, shocked and like, excited that they can finally shoot threes now that, like, they just totally – neglected their inside game. And I think we had the advantage, like, we out rebounded them, and I think, like, if we really wanted to, we could have dominated them on the inside. I know some people were talking about that on Twitter too, but they just kind of, like, were only shooting threes at that point, even in the first game. So that was a little frustrating, but as a whole, yeah, defensively it was it wasn't going to cut it. I don't think we've scored over 80 points in 2 years. So
yeah,
if you're
exactly
gonna give up 81, you're not
gonna win. Winning.
So
it also might be just a this might just be because of obviously we play a lot faster this year than last year. And last year we took a full 30 every possession almost.
Yeah, and so Jay Young even said that. He said they used to play slower because it allowed them to have less defensive possessions too. He said that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that also goes to account, but also that shouldn't account for, what, 20 points? I mean, what was their average last year defensively? It was, what, 60 points a game they were giving up?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe
around that. 60s. So, I mean, 81 is a little much. Obviously, if it was like 65, 66, that's like take some, you give some. But 81 is not going to win enough setting games.
Yeah, and I mean, you give a little credit, like Marcus Hammond? He played pretty well. Yeah. He played pretty well. That kid that they got from their transfer, Cintron. He played well. So they did have some guys play pretty well, but I just like.
They did have a couple nice. Hammond's very good.
Yeah,
we knew that going in.
He is very good, but it still wasn't to a point where it like thoroughly impressed me where I was like, yeah, we deserve to lose by 20. Maybe we deserve to lose, but not by 20 to a team like that. I definitely think it was like ourselves beating ourselves to a certain extent. So,
anyway, 10 that came from the line, especially.
Yeah, so getting into the players, Supreme, he only played 12 minutes, 1-for-1 from the field for a total of 3 points, 1-for-2 from the line, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 4 fouls. So, again, just a lower level performance from what we've seen from him in the past. It just kind of disappointed me the last 3 games from him. But to sum it up kind of quickly, I guess I'll just give him a C- here. Again, he didn't really do much in this one.
Yeah, I'll give a C. I mean, yeah, he's just less aggressive. But him and Meyer are basically like swapping kind of their like tendencies. I mean, Meyer didn't have the best game, but he was still in 2-for-8, still shooting the ball.
Yeah, and like it would have been rough. It's still like a bad stat line either way, but also building on the point that I said, I really think we could have dominated them in the paint. And then for me to like expect a dominant performance in the paint and then get pretty much nothing. One shot. Yeah, you only even got one shot up. That's disappointing. Next, we had Chrysler in his first starting game, 26 minutes, 2-for-6 from the field, 1-for-3 from three, 2-for-3 from the line, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers for a total of 7 points. Again, it was like a decent game from him. It was like he's played well enough to a point where I'm like, I think I'm pretty confident in him starting, and I like him going forward, but he also hasn't had like a breakout game where I'm like, this guy's like legit, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I guess I'll give him like a C+ as well. It's like pretty average, but I like what I see going forward.
I love the potential. I mean, having a big that can shoot like he like has the potential to could be very big even in like future years. I mean, was he a junior?
He's only a sophomore too.
Or sophomore, so. Yeah, so, I mean, having that potential to be a big that can also shoot and rebound and, as you mentioned, play solid defense is could be very helpful for this team and even in the future.
I think he's, like, 6'9", and he's starting at the power forward position, which is pretty good for us in terms of size, and he stretches the floor. Like you said.
And having that mix of size and shooting ability and scoring ability isn't, like, found that often in the MAC.
And like you said, he stretches the floor. I know in that first game, you remember that 5-minute span where we looked really good? They were stretching the floor. They were moving the ball incredibly well.
Yeah, they had great ball. And that was the stretch where they had like almost, I think they had 3 threes and like 4 possessions.
Yeah, that's when we were tweeting. We were like, wow, the offense looks great, blah, blah, blah. But it was such a small window. It was like it happened for 5 minutes in the first half, and then it never happened again. So,
yeah.
But he was a part of that lineup, and him stretching the floor definitely – made an impact in that lineup. Jake, in his second start, 35 minutes, 2-for-9 from the field. 2 of them were 3s. 2-for-2 from the line. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 foul, 8 points. Again, a decent game from him. I like the assists. He's like I think I mentioned this already, but he finds some really nice passes. I've been impressed with his vision and also his just ability to like create his own shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a good passer. He can actually like handle the ball pretty well. And I don't even mind like a 2-for-7 kind of 2-for-9 stat line because I mean, it seems like he's going to be shooting 3-pointers mostly for our team. Like he's going to drive if he has to, if he has the lane. But being 2-for-7 from three, like because I know he'll have those games where he goes 5-for-7, kind of carries us offensively.
Yeah, and if you want someone getting those shots, it's going to be him. You know what I mean? Like
If you'd rather him go 2-for-7
than like
I want it to be.
Yeah. So I'll give him like a C plus though. Like it just wasn't nothing crazy. I think like when you lose by 20, no one's really getting like phenomenal grades. Caleb played 27 minutes, 1 for 5 from the field, 0 for 1 for 3, 0 for 2 from the line. Continues to struggle from the free throw line. I know you talked about that a little bit. 1 rebound, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers, 4 fouls, total of 2 points. This was kind of the start of his rough couple of games he's had, but again, struggles from the line. Hasn't been shooting the ball well in general. So, you know, I guess like a C minus here or even a D plus area for him.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, everyone, it's basically just a C for everyone. It's just
across the board. Really, well, except for got Taj next.
Right? Taj had a really good game. Yeah,
dropped
yeah,
18 points.
Four, six, three.
Yeah, so Taj dropped 18 in a 32-minute performance, 6 for 9 from the field, 4 for 6 from three, which is, again, some really good numbers there. 2 for 2 from the line. He's always solid from the line. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls, 18 points. Really nothing bad to say here. I think every game that we go on playing really poorly as a team, we see that Taj is like the most – solid, consistent guy. You know what I mean? 18 points here is a really good game, but even when he has like the 10-point performances, it's always like there's never really much he does wrong to hurt the team. So I've been just so impressed with him this year because I wasn't really sold on him last year. I was like,
I wasn't. I mean, him and Cruz are kind of in the same boat. Like, they're the old guard. Are they gonna really fit in with these new guys? Like, does Jay, you gonna find a way to fit in like people from obviously the older era with his new recruits?
Yeah, I like
I just fit seamlessly.
I knew he'd play and get a lot of minutes and, you know, do all right, but I was never really sold on him being like top guy. I knew he'd be like leader, but I didn't know he'd be like stat wise like one of the top guys. But he's really impressed me a lot this year. He's probably like one of the best players, one of my favorite players now. So I'll give him like a B plus in this game.
Yeah, I'll give him an A minus. From what he wears last year, 4-6 from 3, 18 points. We unheard of stat line from like being his improvement just overall. Give him an A minus.
Bench then we'll run through kind of quickly. Jason made his debut, 2 minutes, and he had that dunk. He had that one dunk, but he didn't really play a lot. I don't know why necessarily he didn't play that much. I don't know what the reasoning was, because I thought he looked all right out there. And it was exciting to see someone new out there. I mean, obviously the players that were out there weren't getting it done anyway, so why not throw him in there? But he had that one dunk, and he didn't really play the rest of the game, so it's not really fair to grade him in this. But I hope to see him in the next games after New Year's. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we got a little taste, but and he would be so helpful with like those stretches that we go scoreless, like that energy he can bring. He'd be perfect to kind of put in there as a big, get a couple offensive rebounds, a couple easy baskets for us. Kind of what we kind of expected Chef to do early, or what he kind of did in the first few games.
Yeah, I'm definitely want to see him play more. Mido, 19 minutes, 2 for 8 from the field, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 fouls, 5 points. So again, not a crazy game from him, but a little bit better, I guess. A little bit better than the first game. I don't think he did anything. He was more aggressive in this game, so obviously the 4 fouls is going to come with that. But him too, like, you get the spurts of aggression. You know, it's not just, like, consistent, which is a little, like, annoying. Because even in the FDU game, he had, like, one kind of nice dunk. But he's just not, like, consistently aggressive. Like, I wish he would just bring that. Why can't he just bring that,
that fire
every time he's out there? You know, it's like in spurts, which is, I think, just the whole team is just everything in spurts, not consistent. So it's just not even just like one guy you could pin that on, but he definitely contributes to that. So I guess C's all around for these guys. Chef too. I mean,
yeah, man.
Chef, 18 minutes, no points, 0 for 2 from the field. He's been surprising. I mean, he had 5 rebounds, assists, a steal, a block, but I mean, from him being like a guy that people talked about at the beginning of the year being like potentially one of the best like athletic guys in the MAC and like one of our top players to like not getting many minutes, and when he does get like a lot of minutes, it's like empty minutes with not much to show for it.
Yeah,
that's been really disappointing.
And it's worse because it's just we saw it in that Iona game. We saw it and thought that this is when he's gonna start doing what we thought and just kind of fall back to what he was before that.
Are you talking about Mido?
Yeah, Mido.
Oh, I was talking about Chef.
Oh, Chef. Oh, I mean, even both. I mean, Chef had not the Iona game, but Chef had kind of a couple good starts. That Providence game, we thought we were kind of excited. I mean, obviously it was Providence. We lost by like whatever 40 points. But Chef, we kind of saw like the
athleticism
spark he could bring. Yeah, the athleticism, the offensive rebounding.
Yes.
I mean, even Jay Young personally told us he could be the best rebounder in the MAC, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's been so disappointing because we're like, all right, first game, second game, third game. You know, he's just catching up. He didn't play last season, but it's like, all right, we're 8 games in now. So it's – or we're 9 games in now. It's like at this point, the rust has to be kind of shaken off for everyone, and it's like, when is he going to start being this guy that people have described to us, you know? Because I still like him. I think he's like a exciting player to watch at times, but it's just so inconsistent like everyone else. So, you know, but we'll move on to Jalen. 23 minutes, 5 for 6 from the field, 4 for 5 from three. Obviously one of our best shooters, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 16 points, you know, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. So he had a pretty good game here as well. I know like what we keep saying now is like he's playing so well that we're scared he's going to transfer.
Yeah. I mean, like, he just makes it look so easy.
Yeah. He's like a step above a lot of these guys, which is concerning because we don't want him to leave. As much as you laugh, that's not even like a joke really.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just funny that that's our biggest
negative about him. Yeah, biggest negative, yeah. Because, I mean, we watched it with freshman year with Neftali, right? He left because he had a good year as a freshman. It's not unheard of. It's actually more rather common. So, and with the NCAA switching around the transfer rules and stuff, he might not even have to sit out. So it's like, you know, we don't even want to speak it into existence, but it's just something that we worry about as, like, seeing a freshman do really well. He's played really well. You know, we don't really have much bad to say about him, so probably give him like a B in this game, B minus, something like that. And then lastly, Jesus only played 6 minutes. I guess Jay Young's kind of like reprimanding him a little bit for his poor play. He didn't have any points or anything like that. Yeah, Not really much to grade there.
The last game, I think I mentioned 10 shots in 21 minutes is like it's like not ball hoggish, but I mean like he's got to be smart with the ball in his hands. He can't be shooting the ball every other possession.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things when it's not your day, you got to know.
Yeah, you got to know and just pass it off. And, like, I mean, having a 6-minute game, like, just having your game kind of clear your mind, just not really play, could be good for him.
Yeah. I think we'll move on to the next game. I think he played slightly better.
No, I definitely think so, too. He had a couple nice finishes.
Yeah, there was one and he almost – he was kind of leading that charge a little bit towards the end. But
on their comeback, he had a nice reverse layup. Like he drove baseline, had a nice reverse. That's probably one of the better finishes he's had all year.
Yeah. So that kind of wrapped up our Niagara series, and we'll jump into the FDU to wrap up the show. But before we do, obviously FDU win or loss, it wouldn't have really mattered in terms of the MAC. We now find ourselves 1-3 in the conference.
And that's really all that matters. At least to us.
Yeah, in last place, besides the fact that Quinnipiac and Siena haven't played a game yet. Manhattan, Ryder, and us are all 1-3. Monmouth and Canisius are 1-1. And then you got your teams that played full 4 games so far. Niagara's 2-2. And then the top three are Marist, St. Peter's, and Iona at 3-1. So Marist has been a surprise. I know they were picked low. But St. Peter's and Iona seem like
the mainstays.
The ones. And then obviously Siena hasn't played yet, but they're the projected number one. So,
and I know we're at least I'm big on Monmouth stay up there too. So I mean
they've only played 2 games, so that's not a fair assumption.
Yeah. So far what we see so far is kind of expected outside of Marist.
Yeah, outside of Marist. So yeah, that's just something to keep your eye on. We now find ourselves pretty much 3-way tie for last in the MAC. So But we play Ryder the next series, so they're also last, so that's going to shake things up a little bit. But let's move on to the FDU game. We're not going to look too far ahead because that's like 10 days away or so. So FDU game yesterday, we lost 69-65, came down to the wire. So team stats wise, we had 40% shooting, 26 from three. So again, like a very big turnaround from our 50% performance from three.
But you're not going to shoot 50 every time.
Yeah.
But obviously you want in between.
A little bit higher, like a 35-ish. But I think the story was their threes. They were on fire from three, especially Brandon Rush. I mean,
Brandon Rush had the game of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd probably never shoot like that again. But, you know, we still shot pretty poor from three. They shot kind of poor from the free throw line, 43%. I thought that would come back to haunt them, but
I mean, almost did. This game was dead in the water. I mean, what were we down? What was the highest we were down? 18?
12. 12 was their largest lead.
We looked very, very poor at one point in that second half. So, I mean,
the free throws did almost hurt them too.
They could have gone up 20.
We fouled their big man at the end and he missed, right? On the 1-on-1. And then we got the ball back. And then that was when Jalen got fouled. And then the announcers jinxed Jalen by saying, like, he looks calm and, like, he hasn't broken a sweat.
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about the last shot we had.
Oh, no. I'm saying when we fouled their big man, that was when we went back down and Jalen got fouled.
Yeah.
But then he got jinxed and we could have cut it to one, but then it was at two. Whatever. But assists, 12-12 both ways. Turnovers, we actually only had 14. They had 15, but that's just a lot of turnovers.
You shoot that well from three, you can have a couple extra turnovers.
But the thing is, too, was the first half, our turnovers weren't too bad because they had four turnovers in a row, Fairfield. And they were all right in the beginning of the game. But they were literally consecutive possessions, like one, two, three, four.
And then also Taj had that one off his foot or whatever, or that traveling call. I don't even know what the actual call
was. Oh, it was a traveling call, I think, on
half court. They were just bringing the ball.
Before half court, yeah. But, I mean, like in the first half in terms of turnovers, like they had four consecutively. But then they only had five in the first half. So it was really just like that little stretch where they had four in a row. Again, that like is very, very unacceptable to have four consecutive possessions end with turnovers. But it just showed that it wasn't like a span over the span of the whole half. It was really just that little, you know.
It reminded me of reminded me of that Westbrook back when he was on Thunder when he just walked with the court.
Oh, he just walked with the ball.
It was it was like so like no one usually like you wouldn't even like notice it. Like if like he didn't call it, no one would have even cared, no one would even notice. But like
when
he called it, everyone was like in shock.
I think LeBron's done that before too.
Yeah, but
walked the ball. But
hold on him.
Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of the stat line. The kind of takeaways from this game was that like we just couldn't defend three. We just even had trouble defending in general again. Like it didn't really allow us to – we just dug such a big hole in this game, right? We were down 12, but we were down 12, like, pretty late into the game. We dug such a big hole that our best efforts weren't good enough to get out of it, and that's just kind of what it came – we just ran out of time. We just couldn't get out of it. Like we mentioned, Rush had 28 points of their 69, so a very large chunk of their points was him. He had seven threes, and he hit his first 6 for 6. So just like a phenomenal game from him. Obviously, Jenkins was pretty good. He was their point guard. I remember him playing in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. They won the play-in game, and then they lost to Gonzaga. Yeah. So he obviously has experience, and he was pretty good. Like you mentioned, he was kind of tearing Caleb up a little bit. So, I mean, FDU is not a terrible team. They're 2-6 now, but – Their losses were not bad losses, and they are like a team that was in the tournament 2 years ago.
I think it's a fairly relevant team in terms of like mid-major tournament teams.
Yeah. So they're not like – we didn't lose to like a scrub team. I know like – I feel like we kind of picture them as kind of scrub because like they're – like that's right by us kind of. And like
mm-hmm. –
you know what I mean? Like you don't really know anyone that like goes there like that really.
Well, you don't know – yeah. In terms of like just general popularity, it's kind of a scrub team. But
it's like not like a great – it's not like a great like New Jersey school, so people don't really like you don't really think of it as a good basketball school, but it's like they're a pretty good basketball school. They're not for especially
they have
for,
a couple
like
players.
especially for, like you said, like a mid-major. So, but we'll get into us real quick. Supreme, 20 minutes again. He dropped 8 points this time around, 2 for 2 from the field, 4 for 8 from the line.
I mean, he was getting rebounds. To the line, sure.
Yeah, he was getting to the line a lot. I was just disappointed that it was him, because I know free throw shooting is necessarily like his high point, but
yeah, he's very on and off.
He is a big guy.
He can't hit him if like, yeah, I mean, a 7 foot, not, he's like almost like close to 7 feet tall, and I mean, a school like this small, like, you're not expecting him to be a 85%. Even the guys in the NBA can't shoot that well from the bigs.
Yeah. So anyway, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 turnovers, 2 fouls, 8 points. So a little bit better than he played the weekend, but you know, just kind of average. I guess I'd give him like a B minus.
Yeah, I was gonna give him a B. I mean, he was aggressive. He was definitely putting moves. Like, honestly, I'll take the turnovers. I'd much rather him go have 8 shots on the line but have 4 turnovers than go 1 for 1 like he did
the Niagara game.
The last Niagara game. Like, they're just being more aggressive, especially him. Like, he's so talented in the post, and he's got to trust his moves and his talent.
Yeah, so then we had Chrysler next, 15 minutes. Basically just had a 3 and 6 rebounds, 1 block, 2 fouls. He kind of doesn't attempt many shots. He's in that, like, area where he doesn't really attempt many shots, so it's not – you can't really grade his shooting. Because, like, his 3 looks nice sometimes, but he only took 3 shots that whole game. And so maybe I'd like him to shoot a little
more. He doesn't
have
to be that guy. He can just be, like, a guy that just plays good defense, rebounds, and in a pinch can hit a 3 if he's left open.
Yeah, and he's only a sophomore too, so we're not like, yeah, you know what I mean? He's not, like, going to be, like, taking over the game or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, just kind of an average performance from him again. Like you said, like, it's – he's not, like, necessarily producing right now, but we can see, like, the tools, you know what I mean? Like, I could see how he'll be good in the future. So, I'll give him, like, a C plus, C, something like that. Kind of just average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if he can give us, like, that kind of rebounding and that kind of a couple threes every game, I'd hope you get, like, at least 2 threes a game with that rebounding. I'll take that.
And something to note, too, is that we were defending the paint pretty well for most of this game.
It was a 3. It was just
the 3s. It was the 3s that killed us. So, like, him, Supreme, Mido, like, Chef, like, these guys, they were defending the paint pretty well. So, you got to give that up to them, too. Jake played 33 minutes, 3 for 6 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3, 5 for 5 from the line, though. He's a pretty solid free throw shooter. 2 assists, 3 turnovers, 1 foul, 12 points, which led the team in this one. So even from a so-so three-point shooting performance from him, he still led the team in points. So I think he looked good in the first half. He was playing really well in the first half, getting to the line, finding people. So, you know, I actually thought this was probably his best game in terms of the 3 he's played so far. And, yeah, I mean, I don't have, like, a lot of bad things to say about him necessarily.
Yeah, and, I mean, to elaborate, it's – he outplayed Caleb at kind of his own game. I mean, that's kind of run the offense. And I think, obviously, he had 4 assists on 1 turnover. I mean, Caleb on 10 shots, 0 4 from 3, and no shots to the line, including the defense he was playing on. I'm blanking.
He just quieted Hankins down in the second half, though. That's the only thing that was kind of disappointing. Again, Jake kind of disappeared in the second half.
So, yeah, and I think, obviously, again, Mojic and even Caleb, who we mentioned, quiets down a lot in the second half. They're smaller guys. So, I mean, when they're not getting their shot, like, when they – it's harder for them to get their shot, especially when, like, they have a good half and team key in on them. They can't be like – like, Rush is a big guy. Like, even Fairfield was zoning in on him. He's a big guy. He can shoot over people. You're going to have Wozier guard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it might be easier for teams to figure them out going into the second half, too, for that reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we see them disappear in the second half. Because I know, like, Jake being one of our best offensive players, like, you would have liked to see him contribute during that comeback.
Again.
During the comeback at the end. And even, like, he might have been a guy that you would have wanted to see take that last shot to try to tie the game. And
I mean, I don't mind going to jail. I found it odd that that play call.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that now before we go through everything else. My thing was, there was 20 seconds left. I think we're still in the area of you can take a two. You could take a quick two. Because
I mean, definitely, especially with how poorly they were shooting from the line. You take a two, and they miss the first. I think they're in the double bonus at that point, but still, you take a two, get down the one, you get in the miss a free throw. That's a 2-point game. I'd much rather Fairfield be down two than three, especially with how poorly
and also
shooting team they are.
If you notice on that play, right, that they got it to Jaylen, whoever had the ball, was it Caleb? He like got
Caleb.
In,
Caleb
he broke kind of their first line of defense and was like in the paint. He was, like, pretty much near the free throw line.
He cut back. He drove in.
He was, like, at the free throw line, and then he whipped it across. He, like, whipped it across the court to Jaylen, who was, like, in deep three territory. But he was, like, kind of in there. Like, he could have taken that all the way to the hoop.
And, honestly, if he makes that shot, we say, oh, it's a great play call, whatever. So, I mean, I don't, like, it was just a bad –
it was a tough shot, though. It was a really tough shot. It was deep.
But with Jaylen, I felt like semi-confident. If you told me that we had a three for – if you told me we were doing a three for the tie, I would not be upset with that call, make or miss.
I was just disappointed with, like – I just didn't think we needed to do that with
– it was just too much time left, I think.
Yeah, it was just – I was disappointed with that. I think it was, like, a deep three. If you're going to get a three, get, like, at least, like, a good three. I think someone might have been open in the corner. And like I said, Caleb broke their first line of defense. He could have taken it to the hoop. He was already in there. So there was, like, two or three other things that we could have done that I probably would have liked better. Even – I don't know. They could have even taken more time on that. Like, they could have actually, like, set something up. You know what I mean? 20 seconds. They kind of just rushed it up the court, so –
yeah, so I mean, they had. I mean, if they wanted to take a three in that position, if you're going to take a three, have a full play, like full rotations.
Yeah,
go through. You only need like a pass.
20 seconds. You basically have a whole shot clock at that point.
Yeah, they played basically like that. It was 5 minutes or 5 seconds left in that game, rather than 25.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. In terms of the players, I'm not really sure where we were. We talked about Jake. Caleb, again, he only had 8 points in a 34-minute performance, 0 for 4 from 3, 4 assists, you know, but not anything great. I know he had, like, a couple poor plays. I know he had, like, that one play where he was just – he couldn't catch the ball at the top of the key, right, and it was a turnover and it led to a
– oh, yeah, it went right through his hands.
And, yeah, he was getting dominated a little bit on defense, so some liabilities that he's shown over the past three games or so that just kind of have made me kind of favor Jaylen as the point guard over him, even though I know it's not going to happen. So just pretty average performance from him. Taj, again, 28 minutes, kind of like a little low for Taj, right? 28 minutes, 4 for 3 from the field, 2 for 5 from three, 11 points, 2 assists, a rebound. Again, like a pretty solid performance from him. Pretty like, consistent with his average of dropping, like, you know, he dropped 11 points, pretty solid. Not really,
and that's
much to hate on.
We keep saying that that's what we want. Taj drop, give us double digit points and play good defense. And I mean, he's kept it up. I have nothing about Taj over the past few games. I mean, yes, 4-13 isn't the best, but he can't be the perfect player.
Yeah, nothing but good thing. He's like the one guy we really can't. Or there's a couple guys, but he's one of the guys that we can't really say much bad about because he's been playing really well. Bench guys, Allen played 2 minutes, didn't have any stats, not much to say there. I know Chef only played 9 minutes, didn't score on 2 shots. He had 6 rebounds, though, 2 assists. So, again, like, if we could just get him to rebound and play some good defense – maybe he isn't really meant to be like that scoring threat, you know? But I mean, even like Niagara, one of the things I just thought of too is they mentioned how, and we mentioned in the beginning of the year, how he dropped like 14 against Niagara as a freshman with St. Bonaventure. And like, I don't even think he scored against Niagara with us. That was kind of disappointing. But yeah, maybe he's just going to be a guy that rebounds and plays defense and stuff like that. I wish he would convert some of his alley-oops. He's had like 4 or 5 alley-oops this year that he's missed that would have been like really electric. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, earlier in the year, that was like their go-to halftime play.
No, that was Mido. That was the Mido alley-oop.
Oh, Mido. They used to do. Well, I mean, in general, like, I mean, in general, just they were calling alley-oop plays in general for.
Yeah, we called it out.
I mean, I wouldn't.
We called it out. I think they heard it, and they must have heard it and just stopped running it.
Well, I mean, around the Mido. I mean, the plays weren't even that poorly said. I know Mido missed them, but one
we've missed like Mido, all of them. Chef. They've missed like all of the alley oops that they've.
Yeah, but it's the principle. It's the play call.
But if they would have converted like a couple of them, that would have been electric. But it is what it is.
Oh yeah, I know for sure. I'm saying don't be afraid to call them again because they're gonna convert. Yeah.
They're usually open too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're like perfectly ran. It's just the finish.
Yeah. So, but other than that, Chef, pretty average game. Mido, 13 minutes, 4 points. He was, again, like I said, he showed spurts of aggression. He did have 9 rebounds, which is nice. Showed spurts of aggression in this one. He had then the one nice dunk. But, again, it's just the consistency of being aggressive. Like, I wish he would bring that all the time. And like we mentioned, that's not really a skill set. That's just like a mindset. You can totally bring that every time. And he just doesn't. So I'd like to see that more from him. Other than that, Jalen played 29 minutes off the bench, 4 for 11 from the field, 2 for 7 from 3, 1 for 2 from the line. Obviously that one miss, we're chalking that one up on the announcers. They jinxed him there. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 11 points. So he was right up there with the leaders. He played another good game. Again, he's obviously one of our best scorers, obviously one of our better players. So we're just we're definitely all on the train for him, for sure, for Jalen. And lastly, Jesus, 17 minutes. He had, 8 points? This is the one we mentioned. He played well. Like, he played kind of well in this game. He led that charge in the second half of the comeback. He had a couple nice layups. So
I mean, him in like these like smaller spurts, I think is honestly better for his play style. Like, yeah, him in quick spurts off the bench.
Only 7 shots, but he hit 4 of 7. Like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's not even like after this game we're like, oh, we minutes like he played so many. It's like, well, if he got 35 minutes, this would end up being like a 4 for 13. We would have been all, like, upset about, like, oh, why is he taking all these shots?
Yeah.
I don't mind him coming off the bench with, like, just a spurt of, like, 7 shots. Like, because I think his game doesn't really hold up for, like, 35 minutes of play time. As just, like, driving towards the rim over and over again. But in, like, a quick 15, 17 minutes, that's not a bad – it can work.
Yeah, he's like a fiery kind of guy. Like, he comes off the bench hot. Has these like layups that are like powerful and they can't really answer them on defense. But like you said, over a long period of time, they can, you know what I mean? They can figure that out. And also over a long period of time, he's bound to take some shots that are kind of poor, in poor taste, and he's going to miss them. I know he's like 2 for 25 from the three. So like that goes into it too, is the minutes, like 17 minutes, he's taking less shots. So it's more efficient. So I agree with you there. I think he is better off the bench. He provides like a spark of energy and a leadership off the bench too, which is kind of important.
He's a leadership guy off in the second unit, that like a guy that can run with Mido and Chef and Jalen,
yeah,
and be like a kind of the leader, second
when like
leader.
Taj or Caleb is on the bench, someone like that comes in. Yeah, so yeah, definitely a slight uptrend in terms of his play after this game.
The one thing though. There's a lot. Cruz, honestly, his turnovers in terms of like ball handling aren't as bad as I thought, but he needs to offensive fouls with him. He needs, as a guy that drives so much, he needs to learn to use his weight, body weight more better instead of just barreling in the and trying to like push through the paint. Go like,
yeah, a lot of those throws himself, I've noticed. Just throws himself into the defender, and it's an offensive foul a lot.
I mean, the charging foul in like any basketball game is like the most like 50-50 all time. I mean, with like Cruises, it's like even we're like that's just a blatant offensive foul.
Yeah. So, but I guess just to wrap that up again, it's kind of like a empty loss because it doesn't really matter in terms of the max standings, but obviously you don't want to lose ever, and to be in a game like that we could have won, it does hurt to end 2020 like that. It does hurt, but the bigger issue is that we're playing really, 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 really poorly, and we're going into a very important
part of our schedule. Very tough stretch.
We got Ryder, and then we got St. Peter's twice, which is God help us for that one. And then Marist, who's at the top of the Marist at the top of the standings right now too. And then we go into like Canisius. So I mean, it's going to be a tough January. All the teams we play in January are very capable. And I mean, when we're at the bottom of the standings, I guess everyone that we play is more capable. So it's going to be a long stretch ahead, and they better be really doing some stuff in practice right now to change things and figure it out, because it's just not.
The long break will help.
Hopefully, yeah.
The long always helps the cold teams and it does the hot teams. So,
and now we know our offense is going to be better. Our offense is going to allow us to hang with teams for sure. But now it's like the defense, which is weird because it's like that's not.
Yeah, it's reversed.
Yeah, we were like for literally this whole show, 10 episodes or whatever, 12 episodes. We were like, yeah, defense, but we need offense. And now it's like a reverse, which is, it just feels really weird because we've never really had offense and we've always had defense. And now we switched it. We can't be like consistent at both for some reason. But I mean, that would be the point where we'd be a good team, is if we found that consistency at both. So hopefully, like you said, over the long break, they can start to at least find some sense of identity and consistency with the defense and the offense. But yeah, I mean, we're not going to really look into the games coming up too much because it's like 10, 12 days away. That kind of wraps up our episode here. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to add.
No, I mean, just I think they just need their defense. Honestly, it's funny that we are all about this last year. It's all about, oh, once we get an offense, we'll like, it was such a different team. But now it's, hope their defense, hope they go through, they relax during Christmas, have a nice Christmas, and come back, and hopefully Coach Young just puts them through the ringer defensively at practice.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, it is weird that we set, like, we thought the offense would just fix everything, but now it hasn't. So it is kind of weird, but yeah, it's up to them to fix it. We can't help them. People online can't help them. It's up to them. So, yeah, other than that, that kind of wraps it up. I guess we'll wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve and Friday's Christmas, so everyone have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourselves. Maybe Santa will bring some Fairfield wins after Christmas. And other than that, make sure you listen to our next show next Wednesday, December 30th, our Matt Turner interview. We had a lot of fun doing it. I listened back to it. I thought it was really good. I know I haven't sent it to Jack or anyone yet because it's just sitting in the thing waiting to upload, but I listened back to it. I thought it was really good. So make sure you listen to it and tell people. I know this is like a basketball mainly a basketball show, but if there's anyone
get all sports involved.
Yeah. We like
a lot more,
especially once basketball season, we're going to have to talk about something else, obviously. But like, if you know anyone that's like a Fairfield soccer fan or something like that, that doesn't normally listen to our show, just maybe tell them about it or share our stuff on Twitter so people could watch us. It means a lot to us to have done that interview, so we want the most people to hear it as possible. So tune in for that next week, Wednesday, 11 a.m. And, always interact with us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio. Been growing. We've definitely been growing. I think we're up to like 63 followers now. Get some people interacting with us after the games. It's always fun to talk about Fairfield basketball. But yeah, other than that, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will see you next week for the Matt Turner interview, but we won't personally talk to you again until 2 weeks from that. So yeah, we'll end the episode. We'll end 2020 off as we always do, through the thick and thin, by saying, go Stags.